Carnation Evaporated Milk presents A Star, Edmund Gwenn on Stars Over Hollywood.
If I presumed, Mr. Winstead, I apologize. I wouldn't want to give you or Mrs. Winstead reason to regret renting this room to me. And about Tommy, all I've done is tell him the truth.
From Hollywood, California, where the world's favorite stars live and work, the world's favorite evaporated milk brings you transcribed Stars Over Hollywood. Each week, Carnation presents another famous name from motion pictures, television, and radio. Such distinguished performers as Lisbeth Scott, John Payne, Hugh Marlowe. Today's star, Edmund Gwenn, may currently be seen in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer musical production, The Student Prince. Today's story, The Voyages of Ulysses Craig, is brought to you from Hollywood by Carnation, the milk from contented cows. Ladies, when you buy milk, buy wonderful Carnation evaporated milk. No other form of milk is so good in so many ways. Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Carnation is good whole country fresh cow's milk, concentrated to more than double richness through evaporation. Nothing is removed but water, nothing added but vitamin D. For your coffee, cooking, baby feeding, buy economical Carnation evaporated milk, the all-purpose milk, the milk from contented cows. And be sure to hear Carnation's home service director, Mary Blake, immediately following the first act of today's story. She'll answer the requests of all you homemakers who have asked to hear once again how to make smooth, lump-free cheese sauce in just 3 minutes. So don't miss Mary Blake between the acts of today's program. And now, Act One of The Voyages of Ulysses Craig, starring Edmund Gwenn in the title role. Curtain going up. In a darkened room, a middle-aged man and an eager boy of 10 sit tensely watching a flickering film. On the improvised screen is the image of mighty Mount Everest, majestic, forbidding, wrapped in its mantle of snow.
There we were, Tommy, so near to conquering the mightiest peak of all. Within half a day's climb of the majestic summit, it was heartbreaking to be forced to turn back, admit failure.
But couldn't you go on, Professor, even without your guide?
Oh, believe me, Tommy, I wanted to. In fact, my good friend Sir Ian had to forcibly restrain me.
Oh, is that the end of the picture, Professor?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Would you please snap on the lights?
Oh, sure.
Well, how did you like the pictures?
Oh, they were swell. But your words are even better than the pictures.
You're highly prejudiced, Tommy. But I like it.
Why don't you teach, Professor?
Oh, I'm not qualified.
Says who? You know more than anybody I've ever met.
Well, in my wanderings, I picked up scraps and crumbs of information. But that's not the training an educator must have.
But everyone calls you Professor. And professors are teachers, aren't they?
That nickname comes from my manner of speaking, which most people find exaggerated. My degree was conferred upon me by the people, not an institution of higher learning.
I learn more from you in 15 minutes than I do in a whole month at school.
Oh, but formal education is very important, Tommy.
Just yesterday, I had to put Miss Bevan straight on Arabs.
You don't mean you contradicted your teacher?
Well, she was all mixed up. I remembered what you told me about when you spent a year in North Africa. So I told her she was wrong.
Oh, I don't think that was too wise, Tommy. Teachers don't like to have their authority disputed.
She wanted to know where I'd learned so much about Arabs. So I told her.
You quoted me?
Sure. She said she'd like to meet you. Oh, this isn't the first time I've had to put her straight.
I see. Yes? Come in.
Tommy, did you hear your mother calling you?
Oh, no, Dad. Honest, I didn't.
We were looking at a film, Mr. Winston. I guess we were too engrossed to hear.
I'll get cleaned up for dinner, Tommy.
Oh, sure, Dad. Maybe after dinner you could help me with my geography, Professor?
But if I can, Tommy. Won't you come in, Mr. Winston?
Thank you. You let Tommy pester you too much.
Oh, Tommy's no bother.
Lately, he spends more time up here with you than he does with me and his mother.
Well, he enjoys the travel pictures.
And your stories.
Well, if I presumed, Mr. Winston, I apologize. I've so much appreciated living in your home. I wouldn't want to give you or Mrs. Winston reason to regret renting this room to me.
Oh, no real cause for complaint, I guess. A few tall stories can't hurt Tommy. As long as he doesn't take them too seriously.
Oh, I assure you, I...
All right. Dinner will be ready in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Winston.
Lower your voice, Ralph. Mr. Craig will hear
Lydia.
You. Why do you object to him, Ralph?
Because he's a liar.
Oh, Ralph, you shouldn't say that.
It's the simple truth. All these stories he tells Tommy about being a world traveler, they're lies.
Why, he does know a lot about foreign places.
I don't think it's healthy for Tommy to spend all his spare time with a fraud.
Now, Ralph...
That's what he is, Nell, a fraud. If he wants to live a lie, that's his business, but I won't have my son involved.
If Mr. Craig's stories give Tommy an interest in other places and people, I don't think there's any harm done.
I want my kid to respect people for what they are, not for what they wish they were.
Ralph, that was Mr. Craig's door. Oh, he must have heard you.
Good. I hope he did.
Now, this dance is peculiar to this one tribe of savages in the extreme interior, Tommy.
Oh, golly, Professor. These pictures are the best yet. You were awful close to him to take these pictures, weren't you?
Ah, that's the end. Lights, Tommy.
I always hate to turn on the light. While we're sitting in the dark watching the pictures, it seems like we really are in Africa.
Yes, but when the lights go on...
Well, of course, for you, it's different. You don't have to pretend.
Tommy, I think you take everything I say much, much too seriously. I mean, I'm not really an authority on anything. Your father...
Has Dad said something to you, Professor?
Oh, no, of course not. Tommy, it's late. Shouldn't you be in bed?
Mom said I could stay up till they got back from the meeting.
At school, wasn't it?
Parents' club. Dad's program chairman.
Well, what would you like? Another film?
Well, why don't you just talk, Professor?
About what?
Well, about the man you're named for.
Ulysses?
That's the one. Wish I had a name like that. Ulysses.
Ulysses the Wanderer. He sailed all over the known world.
Just like you. Lucky your folks gave you that name. It fits.
Ulysses Craig. His voyages.
What was the poem, the one about Ulysses? I sure liked it, the way you said it.
Yes, Ulysses. I cannot rest from travel. I will drink life to the lees. All times I have enjoyed greatly, have suffered greatly, both with those who loved me and alone. On shore... And when through scudding drifts, the rainy Hyades vexed the dim sea. Come, my friends. 'Tis not too late to seek a newer world. Push off, and sitting well in order, smite the sounding furrows. For my purpose holds to sail beyond the sunset and the baths of all the western stars until I die.
Oh, that must be Dad.
Come in.
Oh, glad you're still up, Mr. Craig. I've got a favor to ask you.
Favor?
What kind of a favor, Dad?
Well, I'm program chairman of the parents' club at Tommy's school.
Yes, so Tommy said.
And we've had some real luck. Jeremy Fail has agreed to speak at our next meeting.
Jeremy Fail?
Just back from a world cruise. 3 years abroad. He's going to tell us some of his experiences.
Oh, gee, Dad, if you wanted that kind of a program, you should have asked Professor Craig.
Tommy.
Well, that's what I'm doing. We thought it'd give us a really worthwhile program if Mr. Craig and Mr. Fail appeared together.
Oh, I'm afraid I couldn't possibly.
Gee, Professor, you just gotta. This is my chance to prove to all the guys that you're as smart as I've said you were.
That's right. This is your chance.
But wouldn't Mr. Fail resent my being on the same program?
Oh, he was delighted when I suggested it.
Oh.
He's been wanting to talk with you about your voyages for a long time.
Well, I don't
know. You don't have to give me your answer tonight.
Uh-huh.
Think it over.
Don't worry, Dad. He'll do it. I'll talk him into it.
Well, come on, son. It's late. Think it over, Professor.
What can I do? What can I do?
And that brings the curtain down on the first act of today's drama, The Voyages of Ulysses Craig, starring Edmund Gwenn and brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Now, before the second act begins, let's hear from Carnation's Home Service Director, Mary Blake. A few weeks ago, she explained exactly how to make delicious Carnation 3-Minute Cheese Sauce. Because we've had so many letters from you listeners asking about that recipe, she's going to give you that story again today. All right, Mary?
Well, let me begin by saying that Carnation's own special blending qualities make it possible, and no other form of milk will do. You see, cheese and Carnation are all it takes for this sauce. There's no need to blend in any flour or shortening. And do you know why?
Yes, I do. It's because Carnation evaporated milk is more than double rich.
That's absolutely right, Art. And now here's the recipe. First, combine 1 large can of undiluted Carnation, that's 1 2/3 cups, with 1/2 teaspoon of salt in a saucepan.
Combine 1 large can undiluted Carnation with 1/2 teaspoon salt in a saucepan.
Simmer to just below boiling, about 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Simmer to just below boiling, and that'll take about 2 minutes.
Then add 1 cup of cubed or grated processed-type American cheese and keep the sauce overheat until the cheese melts. That will take about 1 minute more. That's 3 minutes. And your creamy, rich Carnation cheese sauce is ready. And I'll just bet you'll say it's the finest-tasting cheese sauce you've ever served.
Thanks, Mary Blake. Ladies, enjoy 3-Minute Carnation Cheese Sauce at your house, often this season. And in all your cooking, remember that Carnation has special blending qualities that you just can't find in any other form of milk. Qualities that make Carnation a perfect cooking milk. Next time you shop, get several cans of double-rich Carnation evaporated milk, the milk that whips. We return now to the second act of The Voyages of Ulysses Craig, starring Edmund Gwenn in the title role. Ulysses Craig has filled his lonely life with dreams of world travel. He shares those dreams with Tommy Winston, and the youngster comes to revere the eloquent border. But Tommy's father is resentful of the influence Craig has on his son, and has arranged for an appearance at the parents' club to expose Craig as a fraud. Now, in Craig's room...
Ladies and gentlemen, believe me, you're going to be glad you came here tonight. You're going to hear from the greatest world traveler of all. I'm real proud and happy to present my best friend, Professor Ulysses Craig. How'd I do, Professor?
Oh, very well. I hardly recognize myself.
Wish I could introduce you at the meeting.
Tommy, I've no right to appear on the same program with Mr. Fail.
No right? Gee, he only took a quick cruise. He hasn't really seen the world like you.
Tommy, this idea you have of me, it's not what I really am at all. Oh, I know it's my fault. I needed to have someone respect me, look up to me.
That's why you've got to be on the program. Some of the guys will... They don't believe you've done what you say. They're just sore because you tell me the stories. But if you were on the program, then they couldn't call you phony anymore.
Tommy.
Please, Professor, you gotta. You just gotta.
All right. I'll do it.
Yahoo! I knew you would. I just knew you would. I'll tell Dad right now. I think he needs to be convinced, too. We'll show him all.
Tommy! Wait! Ulysses Craig. Cheat. Fraud. Liar.
I didn't think he'd do it.
Now, he's taking the hard way. Of course, this may be a gesture for Tommy's benefit. And there's still plenty of time for him to back down.
You're so concerned about Mr. Craig and his stories, Ralph, but I'm worried about you.
About me?
Well, I didn't think you could stoop so low.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Craig brought this on himself. If a man lives a lie, he's got to expect to be found out. If he's not man enough to admit to Tommy he's a phony, then it's my responsibility.
Do you really think that humiliating Mr. Craig is the answer? You're jealous of him, dear.
Jealous? Of him?
Of Tommy's feeling for him.
That has nothing to do with this.
There's still time to stop it, Ralph.
There's more in this than a few phony stories, Nell. The kid's getting a false slant on life from Craig. It's none too early to make him see that you don't get what you want in this world by sitting in a room dreaming about it.
And you're going to destroy Mr. Craig to teach Tommy this lesson.
If that's what it takes, that's what I'll do.
Where you wait, Professor.
Oh, is there always such a large crowd at these meetings?
Oh, no, this is extra special.
Oh, well, I had no idea there'd be so many.
I'll be in the front row, Professor. Just talk to me, like you do at home.
Oh, but this isn't the same. I'm almost certain you want to believe me, but these people...
Don't let them bother you. Oh, here's Mom and Dad and Mr. Fail.
I thought you two speakers should meet before you go out onto the stage. Jeremy Fail, Ulysses Craig.
How do you do?
Very pleased to meet you, Mr. Fail.
I've heard a good deal about you. No matter what comment I make about my trip, my son always manages to top me with a quote from Professor Craig.
We want this to be very informal, a friendly discussion.
I thought we'd confine ourselves to Europe, Mr. Craig.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you're equally at home in Africa and Asia, but I'd feel on safer ground in Europe.
Whatever you say.
I thought one of us could start talking about a city, say, Paris,
mm-hmm.
and the other could chime in, amplify.
But you start, Mr. Fail, by all means.
Well, I want to be certain there's a pitcher of water on our table. See you on stage, Professor.
We'd better go, Tommy. They won't save our front row seats forever.
Okay, Mom. Give them the works, Professor.
Wait. Tommy, there's something I have to tell you.
Mr. Craig, it's too late now. It's time for the program.
Please. I must. Tommy, I'm a fraud. A phony. A liar. Everything your friends said I was.
No.
I've never been out of this country. All I know about the world is from the books I've read, the films I've seen. Second-hand travel.
Don't. Please don't say it.
I'm no world traveler. I'm a timid, inadequate, $50-a-week bookkeeper who's scared to death every time he gets on an elevator.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
I told these lies, Tommy, because I desperately wanted to be the kind of person you'd admire. Respect. So I've cheated you, Tommy. I'm counterfeit. And I've no excuse. No excuse at all. Except that I'm lonely and needed to be important to someone for a little while.
They were right. They were all right.
Tommy.
Tommy. Tommy, wait.
Well, I'll make an announcement. You've been taken sick.
No. No, I'll go on.
Surely after...
I'll go on.
This is a real pleasure to discuss Europe with so distinguished an authority as Mr. Craig. I'm sure all the parents here have had reports of Mr. Craig's world travels. So when I fall into error, I'm sure Mr. Craig will correct me, and I'll do as much for him. First, let us say something of Paris. What a city. I feel that it is my second home. There's no other spot in the world like Paris. Agreed, Mr. Craig?
Agreed.
There's so much to see that one scarcely knows where to start. But most of you would want to see the magnificent cathedral of Notre Dame. This great church is located on the western end of the Ile de la Cité.
You mean the eastern end?
Eastern?
Don't you?
Yes, of course. It's so easy to get turned around in Paris. Naturally, we depend on our guides, eastern end of the Ile de la Cité. You're right, Mr. Craig. The cathedral is an architectural masterpiece. Its facade consists of four stories exclusive of the towers.
Three stories, I believe, Mr. Pale.
Four. And I have an excellent picture here to prove my point. Ah, yes, here we are. I was sure it was four stories. It appears Mr. Craig is correct. There are only three. Perhaps you would like to continue, Mr. Craig?
No, Mr. Fayle. Please go on.
The best view of Notre Dame is from across the river at a point near the Petit Pont. As you know, Rome is divided by the Tiber River. One spends most of one's time crossing bridges. You go to the Circus Maximus, then cross the river to the Vatican. You wander through the Forum, then cross the river to the Colosseum.
The Forum and the Colosseum are on the same side of the river, Mr. Fayle. The Colosseum is at one end of the Forum, and of course we really should say fora, plural, because there are several. The Forum of Trajan, Forum Romanum, Forum of Julius Caesar. I don't mean to take over from Mr. Fayle, but I would like to tell you a little bit about the Forum Romanum. Here all the interest of Rome comes to its climax. Wandering amidst these noble ruins, you must feel the utter insignificance of any one man, and the heart-shaking wonder of man, all men, of all times. And I guess I've pretty well monopolized the last 30 minutes. Before I sit down, I want to say this. Not all of us can get on a boat or a plane, but we can all read a book and in our own way become world travelers. The world is ours for the taking. It's bounded only by your curiosity. As for myself, like my great namesake Ulysses, I cannot rest from travel. I will drink life to the lees. Thank you.
Mr. Craig?
Yes?
I owe you an apology.
Oh, you owe me nothing.
I set this up to humiliate you, to make you look like a fool in Tommy's eyes.
We have a great deal in common, Mr. Winstead. We both want what's best for Tommy.
Yes. Well, you've given him something I didn't, so I resented you. Well, Tommy and I have never been close.
Professor! Oh, you're wonderful, just wonderful.
Tommy.
I don't care how you found out all those things, you know. You know him, and you sure proved it tonight, didn't he, Dad?
He sure did, son.
I learned something out there tonight. Something important, I think. I found out that it's possible to travel to far-off places and not really see them or appreciate them, and it's possible to stay home and see the truth about them very clearly. I'm through feeling sorry for myself.
Look, A lot of guys out there want to meet you, Professor. So why don't you come out and introduce them, Dad?
I'd be proud to, Tommy. You ready, Mr. Craig?
Yes. Come, my friends. 'Tis not too late to seek a newer world.
Push off, and sitting well in order, smite the sounding furrows.
For my purpose holds to sail beyond the sunset and the baths of all the western stars until I die.
And so the curtain falls on the final act of The Voyages of Ulysses Craig. This week's Stars Over Hollywood show is presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring Edmund Gwenn. Before we hear news about next week's show, how about a curtain call for our star?
Thank you, Art. I'm very happy to be back.
Well, we're mighty pleased to hear that, Mr. Gwenn. And after your heartwarming performance today, our after-the-show ritual of a cup of coffee with our star seems all the more appropriate.
Mm.
So let me offer you this one, cream to perfection with Carnation Evaporated Milk.
Oh, thanks. Mmm. Very thoughtful of you, Art.
Well, I hope you'll find it exactly to your taste. You know, carnation is an important factor in making good coffee taste better than ever.
Mmm. Mmm. It is very good, Arthur. And do you mind my saying that it's also very good in tea?
Yes, Mr. Gwenn, in tea, coffee, and in cocoa, too. Creamy carnation milk does wonders for flavor and aroma. Carnation, you see, is more than double rich. It has the consistency of cream, and like cream, it's heavy enough to whip. Yet carnation costs less than half as much as cream.
Mm.
And now, Mr. Gwenn, we have this bouquet for your home. Red and white carnations, just like those pictured on every can of Carnation Evaporated Milk.
Oh, thanks. Thanks very much. And I'm sorry to say it, but it's goodbye for now.
Goodbye, Edmund Gwenn.
Bye.
Ladies, be sure to stay tuned now, because in just a moment I'm going to tell you how you can obtain a sheer organdy party apron designed by Gracie Allen. Next Saturday, Stars Over Hollywood will present Mr. Hugh Marlowe and Miss K.T. Stevens in a dramatic story titled No Time for Tears. And now, here are Mr. Marlowe and Miss Stevens.
Madge, be reasonable. This is an emergency. I'll be at the party just as soon as I can get there.
Don't bother, Roger. The party will be over. And as far as we're concerned, let's just call the whole thing off.
Thank you, Hugh Marlowe and Katie Stevens. We'll all be listening next week to hear you in this moving play. The story on today's Stars Over Hollywood presentation was written by John McGreevy. Supporting Mr. Gwenn were Richard Beals, Louise Arthur, Joseph Kearns, and John Stevenson. The program was directed by Don Clark. Ladies, when you shop for groceries today, be sure you buy Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk. No other form of milk comes in so handy, so many times, so many ways.
It's Carnation time when it's coffee time. It's Carnation time when you're cooking too. It's Carnation time at baby feeding time. The milk from contented cows for you. All around the clock, it's time for Carnation.
Here's the news I promised, ladies. For only 50 cents and one label from any jar of Carnation malted milk, you can now have a sheer organdy party apron of Gracie Allen's own design. Pastel blue trimmed in filmy pink, these aprons have extra deep pockets and they're fully guaranteed, at least a $2 value. Remember, you get your Gracie Allen party apron for just 50 cents. With one label from delicious Carnation malted milk. Ask at your favorite food store for complete details. And now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood, this is Art Ballinger suggesting that you be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Tune in every Saturday and hear the world's greatest motion picture stars on Stars Over Hollywood. Next Saturday, we are proud to present Hugh Marlowe and Katie Stevens in No Time for Tears. Stay tuned now to hear City Hospital, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you transcribed from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is the CBS Radio Network.